This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tapping reserves again. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Thursday, March 31st, glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
As the Biden administration scrambles to manage elevated gas prices, the White House is expected to release more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
President Biden is expected to end the border policy from the Trump administration that allows the government to immediately turn away illegals.
More extreme weather across the South, including a windblown wildfire in Tennessee and a tornado in northwest Arkansas.
And the mental health concerns among employees returning to the office.
One third of those who had been working from home and then returned to the office said that had a negative effect on their mental health. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. And then with all of the kind of crisis in the news, the war, the continued surging of COVID cases, I think all of that's contributing to kind of stir up some negative emotions for people.
Emma Goldberg at the New York Times on untrained supervisors sometimes taking a role as therapist. Moscow can't get its story straight. A spokesman for the Kremlin now says nobody indicated the sides have made any headway regarding ceasefire talks for Russia's war in Ukraine. Yet 24 hours earlier, Moscow's chief negotiator described proposals from Kyiv as a, quote, constructive step. Meanwhile, the head of Britain's GCHQ spy service said new intel showed some Russian soldiers had refused to carry out orders, sabotaged their own equipment, and accidentally shot down one of their own aircraft. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says Russia's president may be getting bad info.
The fact that he may not have all the context, that he may not fully understand the degree to which his forces are failing in Ukraine, that's a little discomforting. To be honest with you.
Also of note, Russian forces struck targets around the Ukraine capital despite saying they would scale back attacks there. And the Ukrainian military said it fought off Russian advances in the Donetsk and Luhansk areas of the Donbas region, which Moscow over the past few days has said would be the new focus of its offensive. The Biden administration wants to release up to 1 million barrels of oil a day from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. President Biden is expected to deliver remarks today on efforts to curb the rise in energy prices. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The administration has twice tapped the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in the past several months, but following the November release, prices were on the rise again by late January. Ahead of the midterm elections, Mr. Biden's poll numbers have been dropping, with Americans citing the price of gas as a top issue. Meanwhile, some of the options to get access to additional oil supplies don't sit well with liberals. Many progressives don't want action on gasoline prices to come at the expense of the administration's long-term climate agenda. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. In a research note earlier today, by the way, Goldman Sachs commodity analysts said the reported release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve would help the oil market toward rebalancing in 2022, but would not resolve its structural deficit. Another day of extreme weather across the South, which included a Tennessee wildfire fueled by gusting winds and an EF2 tornado that touched down in Springdale, Arkansas. Near the Oklahoma border, at least 7 people were injured. KFSM television in Arkansas showed extensive damage from the twister and included an elementary school gymnasium and a warehouse. In Mississippi, Jeanette Ware took shelter with her young daughter in the Rankin County safe room.
No chances, and I'm afraid of bad weather, so.
Bill Warren is with the Shell Road Volunteer Fire Department outside of Jackson.
Main power line down and sparking and starting fire in pine needles.
The National Weather Service says in Tennessee, a 250-acre wildfire southeast of Knoxville burned at least 20 homes and other structures. Over 104 tornado warnings were issued by weather forecast offices over a 24-hour period across Mississippi and parts of Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Tennessee, and the New Orleans metro area was again hit by severe weather last night. Coming up next, political battle lines over Justice Clarence Thomas.
Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 11 Pro and get an easy start to your workday. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Again, 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. A growing number of Democrats are calling on Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from future cases that come before the High Court involving the January 6th assault on the U.S. Capitol. The reason, they say, is recent revelations of text messages from Judge Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, exchanged with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows regarding the 2020 presidential election, which she referred to as being stolen. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell stands by Justice Thomas.
Make no mistake, this performative outrage is not in earnest. This is a political hit, part of liberals' years-long quest to delegitimize the court.
Analysis now from Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant and host of a podcast called Mac on Politics. Matt, how do you see it?
You know, this is unusual given the revelations of the texts that his wife, the conservative activist Ginny Thomas, sent to then White House Chief of Staff on and around the January 6th insurrection. We are a little bit in uncharted territory in that regard. That said, the left has been at war with Clarence Thomas from the moment he was nominated to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. And this is more to do with the fact that the left is deeply concerned about the conservative majority, the 6-3 majority that exists in the Supreme Court now, and the likelihood that that will remain at least for several more years. And so that's why they're talking about him recusing. It's also more to the point why they're, I think, going to pursue potentially impeachment in the next few months. So it's a story to watch. Whether they can ultimately get the votes for that, I tend to doubt. But they are certainly going after him as much as they possibly can, and it is a math problem on the Supreme Court that is driving that more than anything else.
If it weren't an election year, is this an issue?
Well, you know, the first question is the Supreme Court going to be ruling on any important cases related to January 6th? And if so, will Thomas have to recuse? That's not decided by House members and senators. It's decided by the Supreme Court's very specific recusal process, which has been in place for some time. Now, there is some chatter on Capitol Hill that they're going to consider maybe a Supreme Court Ethics Act that could change whatever that policy is and policy for the future. So I think that's something to watch. But, you know, as it relates to the election, you know, it's possible the Dems are going to try to make this part of their election pitch for the midterms. I tend to think that's unlikely to work. Supreme Court only becomes an issue when there's a nomination or a major court ruling in or around a major election. And as of now, we don't expect that.
Yeah. I mean, most people can't even name more than one or two Supreme Court justices. I don't know why that would be used as some sort of campaign issue.
No, that's right. And it may also be about appealing to hard left donors and getting them fired up and showing that they're willing to fight. As much about that as it is about anything else. I don't see this as a voting issue. As we stand here with about 6 months till the midterms, it's pretty clear the midterms are going to be about the direction of the country. It's going to be a referendum on Biden's first 2 years. Issues like inflation and the southern border and even the Ukraine crisis are all going to play. We'll see what develops over the next 6 months. But those are the issues that voters are going to be thinking about as they get prepared to cast their ballot and decide whether they want Republicans to control Congress or not.
We're speaking with Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant, host of a podcast called Mac on Politics. There was an NYU law professor who was in a Jason Riley column in the Wall Street Journal. And Jason had quoted this professor, I guess, as saying it in a separate case involving a judge, like, some of these issues don't provide a reason to question the ability of the judge to honor the oath of office. So the question then became, why is that same courtesy not extended to Justice Thomas here? Where's his benefit of the doubt, I guess?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I don't really see how Ginny Thomas's lifelong career of conservative activism creates a unique conflict argument that is so different and so compelling that you'd have to have him recuse. Again, the standard is the standard, and they'll decide it, and it'll get worked out. I think the first question is there even going to be a Supreme Court that considers anything related to January 6th anyway. As of now, that hasn't, I don't believe it's risen to that level. So, you know, some things have to play out here, but you're right. I mean, the left never gives Clarence Thomas the benefit of the doubt. And look, they don't like the fact that there's a black conservative on the Supreme Court. It really undermines a lot of the arguments that they generally make to African-American voters.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A line of severe storms packing isolated tornadoes and high winds ripped across the deep south, toppling trees and power lines and leaving homes and businesses damaged as the vast weather front races across several states. At least two confirmed tornadoes injured several people Wednesday, damaged homes and businesses and downed power lines in Mississippi and Tennessee after earlier storm damage in Arkansas, Missouri, and Texas. Widespread damage was reported in Jackson, Tennessee.
Number two.
Newly declassified U.S. intelligence indicates Russian President Putin feels he was misled by military leaders who did not tell him key details about the botched invasion of Ukraine because they feared angering him. White House Communications Director Kate Benningfield.
We believe he's being misinformed by his advisors about how badly the Russian military is performing and how the Russian economy is being crippled by sanctions. Because, again, his senior advisors are too afraid to tell him the truth.
Benningfield says the failure to tell Putin what was really happening has resulted in persistent tension between Putin and his military leadership.
Number three.
President Biden is warning that the U.S. will not have enough COVID vaccine shots this fall to ensure free and easy access for all Americans. If Congress fails to pass the $22.5 billion in additional funding the administration has requested.
It's critical to our ability to protect against new variants. There's no wall you can build high enough to keep out a virus. Congress needs to act now, please.
Don O'Connell, a top official at the Health and Human Services Department, told Congress yesterday the U.S. does not have the doses it needs if a booster campaign for the general population proves necessary in the fall. Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady may be coming back, but his coach is not. Bruce Arians has unexpectedly retired as coach of the Bucs and will head to the front office, a stunning move that the 69-year-old, who guided the team to its second Super Bowl title, says is not health-related. Brady will now be playing for Todd Bowles after the defensive coordinator was promoted as Arians' successor. Bowles went 24-40 as head coach of the Jets from 2015 to 2018.
Tomorrow's news, Tom Brady retires again since there's a defensive coordinator in charge. Thanks, Jen.
The way you use the internet has changed dramatically over the last decade, but security tools, for the most part, have stayed the same. Between your photos, finances, devices, and connections, your world is more online than ever. Aura provides complete digital security all in one easy-to-use app. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it with digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal info, and tech safe from threats. It gives me peace of mind to know Aura protects me from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more with one simple subscription. All plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds, and experienced U.S.-based customer support is ready to help. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon. Aura, the new standard in digital security.
Thanks for being with us. With home prices at record highs and inventory at record lows, nearly two-thirds of non-homeowners say an affordability factor is holding them back from owning. It's part of a new survey from Bankrate.com, where Greg McBride is chief financial analyst. Greg, what are we learning?
Well, homeownership is still very central to the American dream. Nearly 3 in 4 adults, homeowners and non-homeowners alike, cite homeownership as being part of the American dream. And that outranks things like being able to retire, having a successful career, owning an automobile, getting a college degree. So homeownership very much at the center, but you know, with the escalating home prices, the limited inventory, there's a lot of frustrated would-be home buyers out there. And we do find that those affordability issues are the main things holding non-homeowners back. 64% point to an affordability factor, whether it's their income being too low, home price being too high, or just not being able to afford the down payment and closing costs as the barrier between them and becoming a homeowner.
Do we have any indications that those barriers or those issues might ease? It doesn't seem like it anytime soon.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, I think over time, if we get a little bit more balance between supply and demand, if, you know, home prices appreciate at a more modest pace or even level out for a period of time, that'll allow some incomes to catch up to that, savings to catch up to that. Again, none of those are overnight fixes. Those are all things that are measured in months and years. So the affordability issue is just really going to continue to be central, and especially now that we see mortgage rates bounding higher as they have been in the past couple of months.
Yeah. Does it seem that these findings were consistent from generation to generation?
No, we did notice some differences. I mean, when it comes to things like affordability and the willingness to take steps to pursue affordable housing, so there were some big differences between the generations. All in all, 58% of U.S. adults said they would take some measure to find affordable housing, whether that was moving out of state, buying a fixer-upper, move further away from family members, friends, or even work. But it was much higher for younger adults. 75% of Gen Zers said they would be willing to take steps to pursue affordable housing. 69% of millennials felt that way, but it drops off pretty quick thereafter. It was just 59% for Gen Xers, and only 41% of baby boomers felt the same way.
Well, we're speaking with Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey about the affordability obstacles to home ownership. What else stood out to you here as you guys were pulling this all together?
Well, the high level of homeowner satisfaction really jumped out. We found that 72% of current homeowners say they would buy their current home if they had it to do all over again. Only 18% said they wouldn't, 10% kind of on the fence, they didn't really know. But nearly 3 in 4 homeowners said, yeah, if I had it to do all over again, I'd buy the same place. And so that no regrets home ownership is something I think that non-homeowners should aspire to. It's really important, particularly with prices elevated. Make sure you're not getting out over your skis and biting off more than you can chew. You want to make sure that you're shopping within a range of homes that you can afford. And yeah, that circle is going to be a little bit tighter now because prices have gone up.
Greg McBride at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all have a lot going on. The last thing we need is to spend too much energy choosing what to wear. But if you have a closet full of Cuts clothing, it's easy. Throw on anything and you'll look good. How do they do it? Every Cuts shirt is designed for a modern, tailored fit. They're insanely comfortable. I can't believe how soft their shirts feel. Between the fabric and the fit, they're the most comfortable shirts I've ever worn. Plus, Cuts has all the essentials for looking sharp, like tees, hoodies, polos, and more. And they reinvented them all, from how they're cut to the revolutionary fabrics they use. They won't shrink, pill, or fade over time in the wash. Mine still look and feel great. Try them for yourself and save. Join hundreds of thousands of guys who've made the simple decision to elevate their wardrobe with Cuts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, March 31. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden to end the Title 42 border policy. U.S. to again tap the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in an effort to lower gas prices. Tens of thousands without power following harsh weather in Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. Tech employment in Texas and Florida far outpacing that in Silicon Valley. U.S. men's soccer qualifies for the World Cup. Actor Bruce Willis has stopped working while dealing with aphasia, which affects the ability to speak, among other things. And the Utah man's delivery to Ukrainian refugees. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. If cold winter calls have turned into warm spring leads, you need Indeed, the all-in-one platform to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. For some Americans heading back to the office for the first time in months or a couple of years, the transition can be shocking. And now supervisors are called on to help people navigate personal challenges, whether or not they have the training to do so. It's a story by Emma Goldberg, business reporter at the New York Times. Emma, what did you find?
Well, I spoke with a lot of workers and managers about just the pressures on people right now. There's a lot of sense of crisis in the world. People are struggling, and yet they have to show up in their offices and kind of turn to their professional duties as though everything were normal. And I think that's creating a lot of pressure both on workers and managers.
And some have raised the concern, as you said in the story, that their teams are not prepared for the emotional transition. What's involved there?
Well, I think that at least, you know, people have gotten into a sense of routine when they're working from home, and they have their coping strategies, whether it's spending time with family or even exercising during the lunch hour. And so I think people are preparing for a major transition, preparing to kind of refashion all of the habits that they've developed. And at the same time, there's the weight of the sense of crisis in the world right now. And I think all of that's contributing to a lot of kind of turmoil for people's mental health.
You took a look at, or you referenced at least, a McKinsey study on mental health. What are people saying?
Yeah, well, you know, there was a McKinsey study of over 2,000 workers last year, and one third of those who had been working from home and then returned to the office said that had a negative effect on their mental health. So I think people are, you know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. And then with all of the kind of crisis in the news, the war, the continued surging of COVID cases, I think all of that's contributing to kind of stir up some negative emotions for people.
We're speaking with Emma Goldberg, business reporter at the New York Times. Her story is called Everyone Is Not Okay, But Back at Work Anyway. Another issue that came up here in your story, lack of supervisor training to help with some personal challenges that employees have.
Yeah, some HR managers told me that they've essentially had to play a role that's something like a therapist, but they don't have the training to do that. So they're getting calls about people's, you know, personal crises, sick family members, turmoil in their relationships, and managers just have to respond to that even if they don't have the training. Another big part of that is just that, you know, it's very hard to get mental health care in this country. You know, the wait times to see a provider is really long. Often insurance just doesn't cover a lot of what people need. So workplaces and workers are scrambling to fill in the gaps.
You referenced a travel business called Arrivia. What are they doing in terms of helping people with mental health services?
Well, they're offering, no-cost therapy. And they've seen an increase of tenfold in the uptake of that since the start of the pandemic. So that's a pretty dramatic rise in the number of employees who are taking advantage of that no-cost therapy.
And what are we learning from that mental health app called Real?
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I spoke with people who do some of the mental health care work at places like Real and Spring Health. And what they said is, you know, they're struggling too. So Real, for example, is actually rolling out a 4-day work week next week because its founder was dealing with her own sense of kind of numbness. And she decided she just wanted to give her staff more time to rest and take care of themselves.
I know. I think it was somebody from Real who referenced the fact that we're just not proactive with regards to mental health. And you alluded to that before. Are there any signs that we're starting to address it somewhat?
I do think that more and more workers and managers are recognizing that it is its own crisis. And, you know, I had a couple people who brought up to me the slap at the Oscars, like watching that, that very scripted event go completely off script, I think resonated for some people, just watching that show of like vulnerability and upset. And so I think people are recognizing that there's also a mental health crisis ongoing right now. Some workers raise the fact that workplaces, employers talk about authenticity, about bringing your full self to work, but they don't necessarily know how to do that because then they're sitting in meetings and people kind of address what's the ongoing crises in the news for 2 minutes and then move on to whatever professional duties they have to tackle. So there's a sense of cognitive dissonance for people that's just contributing to the struggle.
Thanks, Emma. Emma Goldberg, business reporter at the New York Times. Coming up next, an entertainer of the year, not so entertaining.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, we're about 2 months away from Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer. And good news, the Jersey Shore is ready for business, but not before an extensive cleanup of the beaches and the removal of some very unusual items. The Clean Ocean Action Environmental Group released the report of their annual beach cleanup involving 10,000 volunteers picking up over 500,000 items from the state's beaches, mostly various paper and plastic pieces. Also among the debris, a hunk of human hair, a thong, several empty marijuana bags, a bullet casing, and a fake eyeball. But that's not all. There was also a mini refrigerator, a toilet brush, a mason jar filled with liquor, a plastic monkey, and a set of rosary beads, possibly from someone praying for the cast of characters that left all of this behind.
Yeah. As I was thinking about these different items that were discovered on the beach, I was wondering, were some of them actually paired together?
Okay.
Like because of separate incidents that happened.
Right.
Like was the marijuana found near the thong and there were, those two items were tied? Or like was the fridge tied to the mason jar full of liquor, right? With these incidents that happened together, like the bullet casing and the human hair. I don't know. I was just kind of speculating about these items on the beach.
Every item has a story to tell, right? And it's fun to think back and see, find out, you know, how they got there, you know, and sort of how they made their way to the shore last summer and what hijinks they were involved in.
Could you imagine just a volunteer just, you know, with those grabbers, I guess, just picking up a chunk of human hair and going, what happened with this, actually?
And then we have to write this one down. This one's going to have to go in the logbook because everyone's going to have to know about this.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of North Carolina basketball fans weren't expecting to see their team in the Final Four this year, and that includes noted Tar Heels fan and country music star Eric Church. Church was scheduled to play a concert in San Antonio Saturday night when Carolina is set to take on rival Duke. And the prospect of not seeing his team square off against the Blue Devils in the tournament for the first time was, apparently, too much for Church, who decided to cancel the concert. Church wrote a lengthy note to fans explaining his decision, calling the matchup a sports enthusiast's dream, while acknowledging that it's the most selfish thing he's ever asked his fans to do. As you can imagine, a lot of people with tickets for the show are not happy and have been venting on social media. Some say they will no longer support Church, blasting him for not only disappointing fans, but also taking money out of the pockets of arena workers. One Twitter user said that Church owes her $460 for a hotel in San Antonio that she can't get back. Others pointed out that if Church really believed in the Tar Heels, he would have never scheduled the show during the Final Four to begin with.
There you go. Yeah. So essentially, Eric Church wants to watch TV instead of performing for his fans.
See, what I think would have been cool is if they set up maybe a big screen on stage or something, and sort of like, you know, kind of
excellent idea.
Kind of had the concert goers kind of watch along with him, and he could have like in between songs they could have watched a little bit, then played a song, then watched a little bit. That would have been fun.
Yeah,
I think a little back and forth and made for a fun experience for everybody there, rather than kind of annoying everybody.
And above all else, Eric Church, although a North Carolina native, attended Appalachian State.
Oh, okay.
Not the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So, again, just weird. Weird.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 11 Pro and get an easy start to your workday. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Again, 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Can you pay taxes with a credit card? Yes, and with the right strategy, it can be lucrative. NerdWallet says you can rack up rewards by paying your taxes on a credit card in several ways. First, earn a sum of points and miles. Many rewards credit cards earn a fixed amount of points or cash back per dollar spent, as long as your card earns more than the government fee of up to 1.96%. This can be a small rewards-generating venture. Second, charge taxes to help earn a big introductory offer. Many rewards credit cards offer introductory offers where you can quickly amass a giant stash of points for hitting a certain minimum spending threshold within a relatively short period of time. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenko.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A wind-fueled Tennessee wildfire and a tornado that injured at least seven people in Arkansas are part of a violent day of weather across the South. Damage was extensive. In Tennessee, a 250-acre wildfire just north of Ware's Valley burned at least 20 homes and other structures. Fueled by gusty winds, pockets of severe weather have also hit Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama.
Number two.
President Biden is preparing to order the release of up to 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve in a bid to control energy prices that have spiked as the U.S. and allies have imposed steep sanctions on Russia. The duration of the release could last for several months.
Number three.
The Biden administration is expected to end the asylum limits at the U.S.-Mexico border by May 23rd that were put in place to prevent the spread of COVID. The decision would halt use of public health powers to absolve the U.S. of obligations under U.S. law and international treaty to provide haven to people fleeing prosecution and would apply to all asylum seekers. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas.
It's easier to come in to the United States, given the nature of our broken system, across the southern border than it is through other means.
The lifting of Title 42 is expected to increase the number of people coming to the border. Actor Bruce Willis is stepping away from his career after being diagnosed with aphasia. Rumor Willis, the eldest daughter of Willis and Demi Moore, says her father's diagnosis is impacting his cognitive abilities. USC neurobiology professor Josh Neiman says that aphasia could be caused by a stroke or head injury, and within a head injury can also be linked to Alzheimer's disease or a blunt traumatic injury, but the family did not say what the cause is in Willis's case. After the disappointment of missing the 2018 tournament, the U.S. men are returning to the World Cup, clinching a berth for this year's championship in Qatar despite a 2-0 loss to Costa Rica on the final night of qualifying. The U.S.'s 5-1 rout of Panama last weekend gave them a huge goal difference margin over Costa Rica, meaning the U.S. merely had to avoid losing by 6 goals or more in order to claim an automatic berth.
All right, so Friday at noon, clear the schedule. That's when the World Cup draw is. Find out who we play. I know you're excited.
I know you'll be watching.
I won't text you then because I know you'll be glued to your TV watching. Thanks, Jen.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. A restaurateur from Utah has taken time off so he can deliver handmade cards to Ukrainian children who have fled the war. Dirk Assel, a Salt Lake City franchise owner of The Melting Pot, a fondue restaurant chain, booked a flight to Poland and reached out to a friend who's the honorary consul for Utah's honorary consulate of Ukraine. Fox News says Mr. Assel got word of a letter drive by Utah's First Lady, Abby Cox, who wanted to share words of encouragement with Ukrainian children who've left their lives behind. Mr. Astle says he consolidated his gear into a carry-on and then checked in two 50-pound bags of letters as his travel luggage. In the bags were colorful cards and drawings that appear to be handcrafted by children. Some were decorated with illustrations of the Ukrainian flag to signify solidarity with the company. Mr. Astle flew to Krakow, a southern Polish city that's near the border of the Czech Republic. He arrived 1 week ago and hand-delivered letters to families sheltering at a camp. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.